jump right in. So on the afternoon of May 3rd, we were notified by the Texas Department of State and Health Services of a cluster of 15 cases of Burkholderia spathia complex in a pediatric hospital among ICU patients over a two-month period. These patients did not have cystic fibrosis, and there were various sites of infection that were reported. The majority were respiratory, but there were other sites of infection, such as bloodstream infections and urinary tract infections as well. Less than 24 hours later, the next morning, we received a report from the Illinois Department of Public Health reporting four cases of Burkholderia spathia in ICU patients, very similar patient population. It was in a children's hospital, had been over a one-month period. The patients did not have cystic fibrosis, and there were also various sites of infection reported, with the majority being respiratory. So just a little bit about Burkholderia spathia complex. It's a group of gram-negative rod bacteria, the complex includes many species. It's not just one species. They're ubiquitous in soil and water, and they're most known for causing infections among cystic fibrosis patients, which is why I mentioned that. They can colonize and cause infections in patients with chronic lung disease. And they have been known to cause outbreaks, particularly associated with aqueous products, such as non-alcoholic mouthwash or a nasal spray. There's also been an outbreak reported. Both facilities, coincidentally, had submitted clinical isolates to the same reference laboratory at the Burkholderia Research Laboratory at the University of Michigan. We spoke to them, and the isolates have been found to be indistinguishable by a method they use called box PCR, and not just indistinguishable within each facility, but across facilities. So these facilities in very different regions of the country had matching isolates, and they were, interestingly, a previously undescribed species within the Burkholderia spathia complex. So this really concerned us that there was some type of product involved, and so we notified FDA and began looking for common exposures across facilities. Very quickly, we became aware of a third facility in California. It was through an IP contact at one of the first two facilities, and we obtained isolates from all three facilities. And our lab uses the PFGE methodology and compared isolates from all three facilities, and they all three had isolates which were indistinguishable. So at that time, we issued a national call for clusters, which initially focused on Burkholderia spathia in non-CF patients in pediatric ICU, since all three of the first facilities were children's hospitals. We conducted these notifications through EpiX to reach state and local health departments, the Emerging Infections Network to reach ID physicians, and then some of the state health departments also reached out to facilities, which was a tremendous help. Our initial case definition, we started with just a probable and a possible case definition, which we defined as no history of cystic fibrosis being admitted to a pediatric intensive care unit going back to January 1st of 2016. And for probable cases, we defined as having a clinical culture from any site yielding Burkholderia spathia, which was consistent with the outbreak strain on molecular testing, whereas a possible case we defined as either having molecular testing pending or the isolate was not available for testing. And then we defined a cluster with a very low bar as just having more than one Burkholderia spathia patient in the same facility going back to January 1st. So two or more cases we defined in an entire facility we defined as a cluster. This is a look at our EPI curve. The notifications really rolled in quickly. You can see a lot of the cases were identified retrospectively. But still, as the investigation moved forward, there were also, unfortunately, more cases prospectively. Several developments occurred as the investigation moved forward. We became aware of a cluster in an adult ICU, also in California, and PFG did show that outbreak contained the same outbreak strain. We also became aware of a second PFG pattern that emerged that is distinctly different from the primary pattern, but was seen in multiple states. And we labeled the two patterns, pattern A and pattern B. And pattern B was not a novel species like pattern A was. It was a pattern that had been seen before. We continued to be notified of additional clusters, and we coordinated with state and local health departments to both obtain exposure information to try to identify a common exposure and to also facilitate isolate submission to our lab. We looked at a lot of different products. We were really thinking something orally or inhaled. We looked at oral care products, at ventilator products, since all of these were critically ICU patients, such as the sterile water used in ventilator circuits. We looked at shared common procedures, and then we also looked at medications. And our initial focus was on inhaled and intranasal medications to see if there were any common exposures there. But we also looked at oral medications as well. And the source ended up being quite a surprise. The original Texas facility, it was identified by, they had sent multiple products and medications to a reference laboratory for culture. And on June 24th, a liquid docusate sample that was produced by a company, a manufacturer named Pharmatech, and distributed by Rugby, tested positive for Burkholderia sepacea complex. And our lab confirmed those findings, and the isolates were indistinguishable from the outbreak strain by PFGE. So at that point, we issued a nationwide health alert recommending facilities immediately suspend use of all liquid docusate. So we weren't sure if it was an active ingredient or if it was, limited to a single manufacturer. And to investigate this, we used the National Drug Code, which is actually appears in patient medication administration records in their chart, to try to trace back which cases had received which docusate products. And it was challenging because a lot of times they were repackaged, had a new NDC code applied to them and distributed in different forms, such as dose cups or prefilled syringes or bulk bottles. So a lot of the cases had received different forms of the docusate or packaged differently. So FDA in their investigation performed an on-site inspection at the Pharmatech manufacturing site, and they collected additional samples of docusate for culture. And their cultures they had multiple cultures from multiple lots which grew Burkholderia sepacea. And those isolates, there were different isolates identified, some of which were indistinguishable from clinical isolates with pattern B, and also some product isolates were indistinguishable from pattern B. And then there was also they collected an inline water sample at Pharmatech, which also cultured positive for the organism. And so on July 14, 2016, Pharmatech issued a voluntary recall of all their liquid docusate products. And then on August 8th, they expanded that to all their liquid products. We went through several iterations of the case definition as the investigation progressed, and this is the final case definitions that we used. So a confirmed case was one that had a clinical culture of Brooklyn Area Cepacia Complex indistinguishable or closely related to one of the two outbreak strains by molecular typing collected from a patient after January 1st. And then a suspect case was a clinical culture yielding Brooklyn Area Cepacia of an unknown strain type at a facility known to have at least one confirmed case or with known exposure to the recalled liquid DocuSafe product. So here's a sample of the mini PFGE results. And let's see, at the top here we have the strain A, which is the main outbreak strain, and you can see there were patients from multiple states that had the same pattern, as well as different DocuSate products as well. And then this group are those that were closely related to the strain A. They were 1 to 3 bands different. Included in this group is the inline water sample collected at Pharmatech. And then you can also once again see that there are both patient isolates as well as product isolates that fall into this group. And then this is the strain B, which was very different from strain A, but looked like there were just two different strains that contaminated the product. And once again, you see multiple states involved with multiple products and multiple product isolates also showing that pattern. And then kind of the same thing with those that were closely related to strain B. And then we did have, we received many isolates, and there were some that were not related to the outbreak. We had a nationwide surveillance of Cepacia during as this was going on. So in total, we received over 300 ports of positive cultures from 31 states. It's really, really incredible. Our lab performed PFGE on over 100 clinical isolates. There were 62 confirmed cases identified in 10 states, 48 were indistinguishable or closely related to pattern A, and then 14 were indistinguishable or closely related to pattern B. And then we also identified 46 suspect cases, which included one additional state that only had suspect cases. And of the confirmed cases, 47 of the 48 that had pattern A had documented exposure to the liquid DocuSate product. The only other one that did not had exposure to a different liquid product, a liquid vitamin that was manufactured by Pharmatech and was part of the recall. 10 of the 14 pattern B cases had documented exposure, and remember that was not a novel isolate the way that pattern A was. So we did have some pattern B cases that we were not able to, at least not able to identify any exposure to the liquid DocuSate. So this is just returning to the epi curve and showing kind of the timeline so we issued the call for cases on May 20th. The recommendation from CDC to stop use of all liquid DocuSate was June 29th. The recalls were conducted at 7/16 for liquid DocuSate and August 8th for all of Pharmatech's liquid products. And then the final case was in early September, and that was the case that was associated only with exposure to to the liquid vitamin product from Pharmatech. So the FDA had asked us, they wanted to be completely sure that there was nothing else going on that could involve, like an active ingredient that was a problem, even though we had the inline water sample. They wanted to be absolutely sure that there was nothing that would, that like a common active ingredient that could be causing other liquid DocuSate products to be contaminated. So we kept the recommendation until they completed their investigation to avoid use of all liquid DocuSate products. I had one of my colleagues in the branch ask me if I had successfully constipated the entire United States. October 12th, FDA concluded their investigation, and they did. We did release that it was, okay to use, to resume use of other oral liquid DocuSafe products not manufactured by Pharmatek. So in conclusion, this really demonstrates the importance of timely reporting of unusual clusters of illness and particularly a coordinated public health investigation. Burkholderia area cepacea complex is a problematic pathogen in healthcare due to its environmental persistence and ability to contaminate aqueous solutions and persist in the presence of preservatives. I think one of the key take homes is that no medication is benign, that bacteria present in orally administered medications, although it's not necessary to undergo the same sterility that IV medications do, that it is important to keep in mind that they can cause infections, particularly in ventilated patients and immunocompromised patients that can aspirate. And, DocuSafe in particular is a very common medication that's just part of medication admission orders that's given to patients a lot of times when it's not, not even indicated. And then finally, in that same, along those same lines, that it's essential to establish strict specifications for non-sterile drugs that ensure safety of the entire breadth of the patient population that may be more susceptible and be exposed to the product. And I'd like to thank my co-authors, both from CDC and from the state and local health departments that were involved, and the many other health departments and facilities that were involved in this investigation.
Thanks, Matt. We're right at noon, so I'll understand if people need to sort of like rush to get out there to those overwhelmed Boise restaurants, but we'll also take a question or two if you have questions. Anybody? I think I will take the prerogative and just emphasize something that Matt said, which is, while we've been looking at outbreak detection and reporting from that local to state level, I think this investigation also illustrates, the essential value of having our health departments report to CDC and FDA anytime there's suspicion of a contaminated medical product. And maybe that's a good setup for the next question.
Hi, Matt. Julie Martyrs from FDA, Center for Devices and Radiological Health. I just want to make the point to the audience, just a comment about your presentation, that not only do we need to suspect medications, drugs, whenever we're looking for a root cause for B. cepacea or other types of HAIs, but we also need to remember about devices. And recently we did have B. cepacea with normal saline flushes. And normal saline flushes are regulated as medical devices. So please, in your investigations, when people think about FDA, they think about food, they think about drugs, but please make it a point in your analyses and investigations to think about devices.
And Patrick Mitchell is actually giving a presentation on that outbreak at the Day in the Life of HAI Coordinators. This afternoon.
So come back after lunch.
Rich Melkright, we also had an issue with probiotic that was contaminated with zygomycosis and killed a patient. So I think there really are, like I say, it was a patient in an ICU or an ICU-type situation, a small person. So I think there's, that kind of reemphasizes what you're saying, I think. It can come in different ways, this issue.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks to all the presenters again.